Faith lights the heart, removes all fear. Walk this path, Allah is near. Faith lights the heart, removes all fear. Walk this path, Allah is near. The path of faith, the path of faith.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wa salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series The Path of Faith in the beautiful month of Ramadan. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, in today's episode and program, we are going to talk about the virtues of restraining anger. Let's inshallah Azza wa Jal first and foremost recite Salawat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In a hadith, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Sayyidina Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he has mentioned in Tanbihul Ghafilin that Sayyidina Wahb bin Munabbih radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has mentioned that a pious man from Bani Israel once went somewhere, and on the way suddenly a rock fell from the top, and he was very close, and the rock was very close to his head. He started making the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it moved away from him. Thereafter, terrifying lions and beasts appeared in front of him, but he did not panic and continued the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. When the pious man started his salah, a snake wrapped itself around his foot, crawled over his body, and reached his head. When the pious man would intend to perform sajda, the snake would wrap itself around his face. When he would bow his head to prostrate to make sajda, it would open its mouth as if to bite him. But the pious man would remove the snake and would successfully make sajda. When he finished his salah, the Satan appeared in its true form in front of him and said, "It was I who did all of this to you. You are a very courageous person. I am quite impressed by you. Therefore, I have decided that I won't ever incite you through evil whisperings. Please be my friend." Foiling another satanic attempt, the pious man said, "You tried to scare me, but alhamdulillah, I did not get scared. I will never be your friend." Satan said, "Okay, ask me the condition of your family. What will they go through after your death?" The pious man replied, "I don't need to ask you." Satan then said, "At least ask me how I deceive people." The pious man said, "Yes, tell me. Tell me about it." Shaitan said, "I have three traps. Number one, stinginess. Second, anger. And third, intoxication." Explaining all three of these traps, he said, "When I throw the trap of stinginess, a person gets entangled into the trap of wealth. I keep reminding him that he has very little money. Therefore, after becoming a victim of stinginess, he refrains from even spending on the obligatory matters, and he is attracted to other people's wealth. Thus, entrapped in the greed of wealth, he drowns himself into the marsh of sins." When I manage to make someone fall into the trap of anger, that is the second trap, I play with him and toss him around in my group of Satans, as children play with a ball. Regardless of the high status attained in knowledge and deeds by an angry person, even if he can resurrect the dead by his du'as, I am still not disappointed with him. I always have hope that he will lose his temper, and at some time or another, in a burst of anger, he will utter such a thing that will destroy his hereafter. And as for the third trap I have, that is intoxication. A person who falls into this trap, meaning he becomes a habitual drunkard, I effortlessly take him towards any evil the way a shepherd takes his sheep. In this way, Satan explained the worth of an angry man. For Satan, he is no more than a ball in the hands of children. It is for this reason that whoever gets angry should have patience so that he doesn't become a prisoner of Shaitan, resulting in the possible wastage of his good deeds. The conversation with this pious man, Satan, also revealed the fact that for a Satan, an angry man is no more than a ball in the hands of children. Therefore, it is of vital importance to treat our anger, to manage our anger, lest Satan gets all of our good deeds destroyed due to anger. Hujjatul Islam, Sayyidina Imam Muhammad Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, he has stated in his book Kimiya Sa'ada, curing anger and suffering hardship and showing forbearance while treating it is obligatory and it is fard, because the majority of people will enter hell due to their anger. Sayyidina Hassan Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that, O man, in the state of anger you jump up and down too much, lest the next jump should plunge you into hell. Allahu Akbar. A renowned commentator of the glorious Quran, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khanaimi rahimahullah ta'ala, he has stated that wrath, that is anger, is that emotion of one's nafs, one's self, that provokes him to take revenge on another person or force him to go away. And anger is such a deadly trap of Shaitan that in itself is evil, but it breeds a number of evils which are extremely destructive for the afterlife. For example, it breeds jealousy, room for jealousy. It creates room for backbiting, tale-telling, malice, breaking ties, lying, dishonoring others, considering others to be inferior to oneself, swearing people, arrogance, quarreling unjustly, mocking others, breaking off ties with relatives, incompliancy, and rejoicing at another person's suffering, and ungratefulness. And there are so many more evils that stem from anger itself. Allahu Akbar. I mean, and those evils that stem from anger, they themselves are deadly, such as jealousy. Jealousy is that emotion that it eats away the virtues just as fire consumes wood. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are in control of our emotions. Ameen bijahi nabiyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear brothers, we learned that so many different types of evils, they stem from anger itself. Jealousy is one of them. Second is backbiting. Backbiting and ghiba is like one eating the flesh of his dead brother. It is a very dirty habit. Tale-telling, tale-bearing, carrying tales. Allahu Akbar. And about such people, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that a namam, meaning a person who carries tales, will not enter Jannah. Malice, bearing malice and grudge in one's heart. Our hearts should be clean for the manifestation of the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the love of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam must make home in our hearts. The same heart, we cannot soil it with malice and hatred for others. Breaking ties. Breaking ties is one of the greatest sins, to break ties. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids it in the glorious Quran. And the one who breaks ties, the Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to say that those who have broken family ties, must leave my gathering because of such people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not accept the dua of the attendees. Allahu Akbar. Lying, which is the mother of evils, dishonoring others, as a person who dishonors others, he breaks someone's heart, and it is a very sinful act to do so. Because when you dishonor somebody, if it's true by saying something that is factual, then it is called dishonoring. Otherwise, it is slandering. Dishonoring others, breaking others' heart. So be very careful when you dishonor others, because what you do, it will be done to you. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives honor and disgraces people. Who are we to grant honor to somebody or to dishonor somebody for that matter? Considering others to be inferior to oneself, that is arrogance. That is showing pride. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like the arrogant and proud people. Rather, Allah azza wa jal likes those who humble themselves, those who have humility. As the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, that he who humbles himself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal elevates him. Subhanallah. Swearing at others. This is again a wrong deed, a sin. And huququl ibad, breaking the hearts of people, dishonoring them by swearing. Arrogance we mentioned, it is an evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves humility in His servants. Quarreling unjustly. And about this, there is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he says that the most obnoxious person in the court of Allah azza wa jal is the one who is most quarrelsome. Always picking a fight, mocking others. That's also wrong. And it stems from anger. Breaking of ties with relatives. Cutting of family ties. Again, this evil stemming from anger. Rejoicing at somebody's suffering. That is a very sadistic nature. And that says that a person is sick in his head, because it shouldn't bring you joy to see somebody suffering. That is the total opposite of being human. Ungratefulness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person who is grateful. Ungrateful person has so much to lose. Allah azza wa jal commands us to be grateful. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commands us and teaches us this beautiful value of gratitude. And we as Muslims shouldn't be on the opposite end, being ungrateful. Indeed, if someone gets angry at somebody and if the latter suffers any loss, the former rejoices and he feels good at the other person's distress and forgets all the favors done by him, and he at the same time breaks ties with him. Some people carry the anger in their heart, which remains hidden in their hearts for years, the grudge that they hold. Due to this anger, they do not attend any of the happy or sad moments belonging to the person that they hate. It becomes so personal. Some people who apparently seem to be pious, but express their anger, which is hidden in their hearts, in such a way that now they no longer do any favors for him as they used to do in the past, and they do not treat him well, nor do they show any sympathy towards him. If he has conducted any ijtima of zikr naat, etc., then due to displeasure and merely satisfying their ego, they deprive themselves of the blessings of such religious gatherings. There are some types of relatives that no matter how good one treats them, they never change their evil ways, but we shouldn't lose heart. It is stated, maintain ties with the one who severs it. And subhanallah, Maulana Rumi rahmatullahi ta'ala says the purpose of the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the objectives was to join people's hearts and to bring them together. And he says, tu barai wasl kardan amdi, ne barai fasl kardan amdi. Meaning, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have come to join the hearts, to establish the bonds and not to break them. Subhanallah. Inshallah azza wa jal, we are going to learn ways to cope with this anger, with this evil trait. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to always keep our anger in check and to manage it better. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anger can practically be cured if one seeks awareness about the excellence of controlling his anger and by forgiving others. Whenever one flies into a rage, he should try to control it by pondering over the virtues of controlling anger. It is stated in Sahih Bukhari that a man approached the court of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and humbly said, O beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please advise me. And the beloved Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied and gave him the advice, do not get angry. He humbly requested for the advice twice more after this, and the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him the same response, do not get angry. Subhanallah. Dear brothers, anger, like any other emotion, is a human emotion, and it is quite natural for anyone to get angry. And the kamal and the excellence lies in how do we channel it. As every emotion needs to be channeled, so how do we regulate our emotions? That is what we are discussing here. Right? Anger is a natural emotion. We respond to a situation sometimes in anger. And the way we channel it, there remains the crux of the matter. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he stated that I humbly asked Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please inform me of such an act that will make me enter paradise. And the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to him, La taghdab walakal jannah. Do not get angry, then Jannah, paradise, is for you. Subhanallah, it is stated in Sahih Bukhari that the powerful man is not the one who wrestles and overpowers others in physical strength, but the powerful man is one who controls himself whilst in the state of anger. It is stated in Kanzul Umal that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, whoever has the ability and power to express his anger, but he controls it, on the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jal will fill his heart with his pleasure. Another cure for anger is that when one gets angry, he should recall the way of life and the parables of the pious predecessors, rahimahumullah. It is mentioned in one parable, Hujjatul Islam Imam Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He has quoted it in Kimiya-i Sa'adat that a person talked rudely to Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He radiallahu anhu bowed his head and said, do you want me to become angry so that Satan plunges me into the pride of arrogance and power and I inflict cruelty upon you? And on the day of judgment, you will seek recompense for it from me. I will certainly not do this. Saying this, he, rahimahullah, remained silent. It is also mentioned about another person, that a person saw at Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala. And Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, he replied that on the day of judgment, if the side of my sins on the scale is heavier, then I am worse than what you have called me. However, if it's lighter, then I do not care about your vulgar words. Someone swore at Sayyidina Shaykh Rabi bin Husayn radiallahu ta'ala, and he said, Allah Azza wa Jal has heard what you said. There is a valley on my way to paradise, and I am crossing over it. If I manage to do so, I do not care what you have said. If I fail, then your vulgarism is not enough for me. A person saw at Amir al-Mu'minin Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he replied, I have other faults too, just like this, which Allah Azza wa Jal has kept concealed from you. Allahu Akbar. Look at the humility. And what happens when somebody swears at you? You go in rage, you lose your cool. And here, the pious predecessors, look at their example, how they dealt with it. Allahu Akbar. A person swore at Sayyidina Shabi rahimahullah ta'ala, and he replied that if you have spoken the truth, may Allah Azza wa Jal forgive me. And if you have lied, may Allah Azza wa Jal forgive you. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Look at the broad-mindedness. Subhanallah. They were so conscious. They were so humble to the earth that when somebody swore at them, they would make dua. Allah, Allah. Sayyidina Fudail bin Iyad radiallahu ta'ala anhu was informed that someone was speaking ill of him. And he rahimahullah replied that I take an oath by Allah Azza wa Jal, I will surely upset Satan. He then made dua, O Allah Azza wa Jal, whatever ill he has spoken of me, if I possess those faults, then forgive me and guide me. And if he has made false accusations against me, then grant him forgiveness. A person was openly speaking ill of Sayyidina Bakr bin Abdullah Muzni rahimahullah ta'ala, but he remained silent. Someone humbly asked Sayyidina Bakr bin Abdullah why he was not saying anything in retaliation when that person swore at him. Why didn't he say something in response? So he rahimahullah replied, I am not aware of any of his evil that I could speak ill of him. Why should I become a grave sinner by slandering him? Allah. These pious saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were incredibly great people who used to control their anger in such a graceful manner. They knew that getting angry and retaliating against an opponent for the sake of their egos brings no good for them. Allah, Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq as well to always keep our anger in check and not to retaliate with people, not to respond anger with anger, but rather anger can be extinguished with love and affection. And there is, you know, life is short and there is not enough time to make peace with one another. Why go all this way to give growth to this anger and let it become something big and explode? It is unnecessary, truly. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to manage our anger and keep to the beautiful advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not to let anger get better of us. Ameen bijahi nabiyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dear brothers, keep the dangers of anger in view, because it is anger which mostly breeds differences and quarrels, rifts between two brothers, divorce between the husband and wife, as well as hatred, hostility, and even killing one another. Triggered by anger, when one resorts to arguing and fighting or causes damage, then he should guide himself in this way, that even if I have gained some power and influence over others, Allah Azza wa Jal is infinitely more powerful over me. If in a state of anger I hurt anyone's feelings or violate anyone's rights, then on the day of judgment, how will I escape from the wrath of Allah Azza wa Jal? It is mentioned in a parable narrated by Mufti Ahmad Yar Khanaimi rahimahullah ta'ala. He says that Mamun Rashid, the son of Khalifa Harun Rashid rahimahullah ta'ala, he was a small child, and Mamun Rashid was playing outside, and a soldier's son, he swore at the son of the Khalifa, Mamun Rashid. So Mamun Rashid was a child, he came to his father in his royal court and he complained about what the other child did to him. He swore at him and this made him upset. So Harun Rashid asked his courtiers, what should be done about it? So each one, they gave fancy ideas of how that child must be punished because he swore at the Khalifa's son and so on and so forth, right? Fueling his ego. And after Khalifa Harun Rashid Rahimahullah, he listened to their suggestions. He turned towards his son and he told his son, my son, if you are brave, then go and forgive him. But if you are coward, then go and swear at him with the same words that he used against you, just to be equal, just to be even, but not one word extra, because for now, he is the accused and you are the victim. And if you do anything over and above that, what he did to you, then after that, you will become accused and he'll be the one who's victim here. So this way, he taught his son the value of forgiving others, of overcoming one's anger and channel it in a better way. So if you are brave, then you will get over your anger and forgive others. Let's not be coward about it. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam once summoned a servant to do some work, but he arrived late. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a miswak in his blessed hand. He said, if the revenge had not been destined to be on the day of judgment, I would have used this miswak to beat. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam never took revenge for his own sake. On the other hand, today's Muslims react to the minor error of his servants in such a manner that he hurls a torrent of abuses and may even beat him up. Allahu Akbar. It is mentioned in Masnavi of Maulana Rumi rahimahullah ta'ala regarding Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that in the battlefield, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was fighting with a disbeliever and he overpowered him, his enemy, the enemy of Allah. And he overpowered him and he put him down. Just as Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was about to strike, this person spat on the Mubarak face of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. After that, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala let go of him. And he was astonished, he was shocked. Why would you let go of your enemy who you have already overpowered and have the chance to finish him off? So he asked Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, why did you do this? Who does that? He said, look, I am fighting here not for my own ego, not for my own personal grievances. I was fighting with you for the sake of Allah. After what you have done to me, if I now killed you, it would have been for my personal ego and for my personal grievances. And therefore, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu let go of him. Allahu Akbar. Look at how the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would react when somebody angered them, when somebody really push their buttons. And here we, at every little thing, we lose our cool, as if we flow in rage. And this is satanic attempt to toy with us, to play with our emotions of anger. As we have established in the beginning, that shaitan, when we get angry, then shaitan plays with us as children play with a ball. So let's not become a toy in the hands of shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep us on the path of his and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Faith lights the heart, removes all fear. Walk this path, Allah is near. Faith lights the heart, removes all fear. Walk this path, Allah is near. The path of faith, the path of faith.